Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter. Praise the Lord. Hey, there was a middle school in Oregon. There were some girls putting on lipstick and then pressing their lips against the mirrors in the bathrooms, leaving dozens of lip prints. And the principal called the girls in, had them gather in the girls' restroom, and told them that the lip prints were causing a great deal of problems for the janitors, because they had to clean the mirrors every single day, and it was hard to get all that lipstick off. To demonstrate how difficult it was, she asked the custodian to clean one of the mirrors right there in front of the girls. So he took out a long-handled brush, dipped it into the toilet, and scrubbed the mirror. They reported that since then there have been no more lip prints on the mirrors. Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter, begins in the first 11 verses with the temptation of Christ. I'm praying and believing this morning that we can gain something from this, not just the knowledge that he was tempted, but an understanding that can help us in our journey. You see, I believe that if we could see who is tempting us and reckon with all the pain and sorrow that our enemy has brought to our lives, that we would look at sin and sinning and all of that in a completely different light. You see, it goes like this. The devil tempted our ancestors, Adam and Eve, in the garden of God's provision. In their temptation and fall, the results have been, as it always is, that the wage of sin is death. So, along with death has come sickness and sorrow and pain. Folk, we need to get this. You say, Pastor, that's so simple. But you know something? We forget this continually. And we throw questions at God. Why, God, are you? Why is this happening? Why has this? When he's given to us the answer right in the beginning of the book, that sin and sickness and sorrow and death came from the enemy of our souls. His temptation upon mankind has brought struggle upon man and woman. We need to know that. We need to know it at the level of our lives, that it is the first thought that we have. We're getting upset with the wrong one. Let me put it this way. We need to pin the tail on the right donkey. You and I have an enemy of our souls. He is a thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. You need to be aware of that. In your life, there is, in the same way that there is an awesome and almighty God, there is a devil who is out to kill, to steal, to destroy, to cause sorrow, to cause sickness, to cause death. Why is it that we will forget that? Even many today who will acknowledge God will not acknowledge the devil. Passages like this should begin, if you will, for us to catch a vision, an understanding of this devil and his desire over mankind. Because in the same way that he tempted Christ, he tempts us. It's not God that tempts us. Listen to what the scripture says. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. You see, we need to understand this. When temptations come, the devil tempts us for failure. You say, well, why does God allow me to be tempted? Because you see, if you're allowing him, he's putting the stuff in you and I that will give us the power to stand against the temptations of the enemy. We don't have to fail. We don't have to fall. We don't have to sin. Oh, see, we love that as an excuse. The devil made me do it, right? Who was that? Flip Wilson used to say that? The devil made me do it. No, the devil doesn't make you sin. Notice again what that scripture says. When, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when? By his own evil desires. The devil knows exactly where our weak points are. He knows where you and I can be tempted and turned. Little Barbara, 5 years old, had disobeyed her mother and was sent to her room. After a few minutes, her mom went in to talk with her about what she had done. And teary-eyed, she asked, "Why do we do wrong things, Mommy?" Mom says, "Sometimes the devil tells us to do something wrong, and when we listen to him..." Her mommy said, "We need to listen to God more." And the little girl wailed, "But he talks so soft." God does speak softly. His voice in the midst of our temptations will not be the loudest voice. You say, well, why is that? It is because he is concerned about our free will worship of him. He does not want to influence us beyond the knowledge and the awareness that he gives us out of his word and out of his spirit. So the voices of the enemy, the voices of temptation, will always be louder voices than the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of us. I believe that as we studied the word, even we said here earlier this morning, that when we hide the word of God in our heart, that voice grows louder. As his word is practiced in our lives, his word is grows louder. As we walk and operate in the voice of the Holy Spirit within us, his voice grows louder. You know what I'm talking about? You see, too many of us have God in heaven. When he said he wanted to be inside of us. So we're facing down temptations with a God up in heaven so far away that we can't see him, and an enemy who is presenting before us temptations that are right before our eyes. And we say, I can't stand up under that. Yes, you can. If you bring alive the word of God and the spirit of God inside of you, if you bring that to the surface in your life and you begin to walk and to serve the voice of the Lord inside of you, you will find that his voice, his word, his spirit will begin to speak out against those temptations. How could Jesus stand on this day against the devil himself in temptation? It is because the word of God was alive in him. As a matter of fact, he was the word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. But I would point out to you this morning that Jesus did not use anything in the wilderness of temptation that you and I cannot use. It's just that he was focused, he was determined that the Word would rise up and be the loudest voice in every temptation. Here's a why question for you. Why was Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness of temptation? We have the answer right in the Word. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, it says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He went through the temptation. Let me give you another one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we do not have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. He's been there. He's experienced it. And his experiences can be life and power for us. But see, we've got to internalize them. We've got to let his word be a part of us. We've got to use his word. We've got to speak his word. We can't be ashamed of his word, church. Somebody says, are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me change the subject, lest you give me something too complicated. Huh? No. Hallelujah, yes. Praise the Lord, yes. I am a believer. Who would want to be a Christian?
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your witness, the witness of who is alive in you. You see, this temptation thing we're going to talk about here in just a couple of minutes. This temptation thing is a temptation to shut up. Don't use the word. Don't listen to the Lord. You don't need that. Just go to church on Sunday. You're going to be fine. You'll make it into heaven. That's the liar. That's the enemy of our souls. The Lord and God that we serve wants to be a part of our lives every single day. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. No matter what valley, no matter what circumstance we're walking through, he wants to be right there with us. His word, he's given to us his word, young folks, so that it can be alive in us. So that you and I, we can use his word. We can speak his word. And the enemy of our souls will back down, will run from his word. Again, David said, thy word, your word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. How does that work? It works because his word is alive within us. Now, lest I don't even preach the sermon that I've prepared, I've got to move on. But I want you to see, in these three temptations of Christ, we see three examples of temptation and how to understand the working of the enemy in our lives. How many want to be smart Christians? Devil's counting on you being dumb Christians. Huh? Smart Christians will learn about the enemy. Then you know how to fight him. Let me read the text. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor and said, all of this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Hallelujah. Man, let me tell you something. If you want to experience victory in your life, overcome a temptation. I mean, if you want to experience a glorious victory in your life, overcome a temptation of something that is your weakness. Huh? How many have some weaknesses? Okay? Get God into the mix of that weakness. In other words, expect it. Expect that it's coming. Know your weaknesses. Know, okay, this is an area where I have difficulty. This is an area where the enemy is going to come and he's going to tempt me. And get ready for him. How do you get ready for him? Look in the Word of God for scriptures that will stand up against that temptation. Get them into your heart. Get them into your mind. Memorize them. Speak them out over and over again until they become commonplace in you, so that when you are tempted, you can take your stand, just like Jesus did, against the enemy's will for your life. And you talk about a glorious day when in your weakness, you turn aside from the temptation by the power of God and His Word. Some of us that haven't left the ground in years will jump up and click our heels. I mean, it's glorious. Because you realize that in the flesh, in this weakened body of clay, you have just defeated spiritual darkness. Now, I'll tell you, it'd be nice that if you just defeat him once, that he wouldn't come back again. But he's relentless. He'll be back again. And he'll be back in those same areas again. So don't think that because you defeated him once that that's the end of the story. No, my friends, he will be back. And he will be back in those areas of your weakness. So you have to be ready for him again. But revel in the victory. Exclaim and proclaim the glory. On Wednesday night testimony time, stand up and praise the Lord in my weakest moments. The Spirit of the Lord enabled me to remember the Word of God. I spoke it against the enemy, and I had victory over the sin that would consume me. Hallelujah! Oh, glory. Let me show you how this breaks down. In the first temptation of Jesus, and of course we know, he tempted him with bread because he hadn't eaten for 40 days. Let me capsulize that and to say temptation attacks in deficiency. Temptation attacks in deficiency. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I would be too. How many would be hungry after 40 days and 40 nights? I'm hungry now. I get up from eating, and I'm so full I can't breathe. And there's still part of me that says, "You're hungry. Come on." Some of you are the same way. You know what I'm talking about. I'll be so full, and then I drive past that favorite ice cream place. And I think, well, maybe there's a little more room. 40 days and 40 nights, I can't even put my mind around that. I have friends that have tried to do 40-day fasts, but they still drink juice and stuff like this. It's really a supernatural thing to me. Conditions set by circumstance are often unrelated. Let me explain that. For instance, a lack of food will cause other things to happen in your body. So after 40 days, Jesus' physical body was weakened. You will get lightheaded. Often struggle to have the strength to stand when you haven't had food for a long period of time. Sometimes there's vision problems. See, I want you to be here because Jesus was in the flesh. He was in the same flesh that we're in. So 40 days without food was doing the same things to Jesus that it would do to our bodies. He was tempted in all points as we are. If he stood there like Superman and wasn't bothered by 40 days of fasting, then he would not be able to relate to our deficiencies. There's sometimes things that happen in our brain, trying to think clearly when we haven't eaten for an extended period of time like that. Physical exhaustion can lead to a weakened resolve. You see, it's not just 40 days of lack of food, but it can be 40 hours of difficult life that brings us to a point of deficiency in our bodies. We're not strong in our resolve. And the devil knows it. He loves those points in time to bring us then temptations toward our weaknesses in our flesh. Being so tired can open the door to eating when you're not even hungry. Or chasing images that you should not be chasing. Or saying things that you know you should not say. Going places where you should not go. When I worked in the refinery, when I came out of the Navy, we were on rotating shifts. And so you worked for so many days on one shift, and then you moved to the next shift, and then you moved to the next shift after so many days. So you never really developed a sleep habit. Very similar to being in the Navy, and where you're four on and four off. Everybody walks around like zombies. But I watched the guys at the refinery as they would leave the gates, go through the gates after several rotations, and walk first to the trunk of their car and open the trunk lid and go into an ice box and start drinking. They couldn't even get out of the parking lot. So physically tired that reason was left behind. And some of them became so intoxicated that the guard always watched over this, because you had to kind of go past the guard station, and the guard would watch over this of how much guys would drink, because then they shouldn't be driving. I can't tell you the number of times that I saw cabs pulling up there to men who had cars in the parking lot, because they were physically exhausted, went to their trunks, lost all reason, and drank themselves to the point where they had to have a cab to take them home. That's just an example. You see, physical fatigue, emotional fatigue, these are points in time. They're deficiency in our bodies. Come on, church, we need to learn. When we're really tired, when we have given it all out one way or another, it is a point in time where the enemy can come in. It's when he loves to tempt. When it's been 40 days or 40 hours or 40 minutes or 40 or more. You understand what I'm saying? You see, make the application here, because we all have times of deficiency in our lives. I mean, isn't it interesting that the devil doesn't try to tempt us to go to the wrong place while we're sitting here? Or maybe he does. Maybe you're so tired, you're just barely here. And he's saying to you in your mind, why don't you see, He loves tempting us in our deficiency. Look at the second one, because the second one, it begins there in verse number 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. He's doing to Jesus what he did in the garden, using a portion of the word of God, but using it incorrectly. Using it even in tempting folks. We've got to know the word. We've got to know it in its context. We've got to know it in truth. We've got to own it. We've got to live it. See, Jesus wasn't taken off guard by this. But here's the second point. The first one is temptation attacks in deficiency. But the second one is there's tyranny of doubt that is often brings temptation. The tyranny of doubt brings temptation. The tyranny of doubt brings temptation. We all have times of doubt. And any person who is a believer that does not own that is lying. I'm sorry, but that's true. We all have times of doubt. Sometimes it's a result of the first thing that I mentioned, of deficiencies in our lives. When we've given out emotionally or physically everything that we could give, and we're at low points. The devil loves those times, because then he sees a crack in our belief system. And he worms his way through the crack. Listen to what he says. If you are the Son of God. The devil knew he was the Son of God. There was no problem of identification here. And he will speak into your heart and into your mind. If you're really a Christian. Huh? If you're really a Christian. Why did you just get involved in that conversation you were just involved with? If you are really a Christian, why did you just look at those images that you were looking at? The devil loves ifs. If you've got all this strength that the preacher was talking about, then how come you just were so weak? If you have faith, then why did this happen? Or why did that happen? Or why did that happen? Huh? Have I hit the nail at all? Anybody live there? You see, the devil loves the if statements to bring us to points of doubt. Because when he sees that crack of doubt, he knows that there is a place to worm in and to tempt us in the place of our weakness. Listen to these. I know God can. I just don't know if he will. What if life doesn't turn out the way I want it to? Why were Lot and his wife and daughters told, don't look back? How many remember that story? The angel of the Lord came, told them he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They were holding on to that city so tightly they had to grab him by the hands and pull them out of the city. But he told them, don't look back. It wasn't that God was afraid of them seeing the destruction of Sodom. It was about their hearts. It was about the crack of doubt. It was about the longing that would come through that crack of doubt for what they were leaving behind. Lot's wife turned and became a pillar of salt. I've heard many people say, oh, that seems so severe. She found her reality. Because her hope, her desire was in Sodom. And Sodom was destroyed. She placed her hope in what was temporal, and it was destroyed, and she with it. See, we need to understand, if we set our hope in this world is doomed to destruction. If we look for our peace there, if we look for our joy there, if we look for our hope there, it's going to disappoint you and I every single time, because it is doomed to destruction. We need to set our hope on what is eternal. Notice that the enemy used the scripture to inject the possibility of doubt rather than the assurance of faith. Now, see, here's the problem with just going to church but not really having a relationship with the Lord. You can learn just enough here to get you in trouble. It's kind of like, I watched a guy take an engine out of a car one time. I just stood there and watched him. I was young. It was fascinating. From running to taking the whole engine out. I had the little crane thing and took the whole engine out. So this afternoon, I'm going to rip one of mine out. Going to get up in the 50s today. I just thought maybe I would pull the engine on my car. I watched somebody else do it. Huh? Sharon's car. No, see, I have learned, just because I have watched and I have a general knowledge, a general concept of working on an automobile, that's not enough for me to open that hood and start tearing in there. Because somewhere in the midst, I'll get down in there and I will forget where I took it from and where it's supposed to go back. So I want to take my car to somebody who has what? Studied to show themselves approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the book of truth in taking care of cars. The enemy loves it when we get just enough of the word in us that we go, "Ooh, that sounds like the word of God. That must be God's voice. I'll do that." Huh? Or we go through the book and find the parts that we like. I remember back in Bible school, you know, it was always on there that guys said that they wanted to be biblical. Greet one another with a holy kiss. So, you know, they would find as many girls as they could. And of course the Lord said, "What thou must do, do quickly." Right? So, I mean, you know, they had all the authority that they needed, and they would inform a girl, you know, "I'm going to be a pastor and I just want the word to come alive. So you're to kiss me and do it quickly." Now see, we hear things like that and it brings a chuckle because it seems so absurd, and yet the enemy does that to us all the time. We will say, "Well, yeah, scripture says that I'm free, so I can do whatever I want to do." Keep reading. He also says, "Does that mean that I should go about sinning? God forbid." Understanding that it's not good for me to yield to the temptations of the enemy. Once again, this comes into this tyranny of doubt that we all have. Watch for the enemy at times of doubt. You know where he's going to tempt you. I know where he's going to tempt me. So be aware. You know, I'm struggling a bit right now. Something has tried my faith. Something's put a crack in the shield. So I've got to be careful going out into battle today. C.S. Lewis wrote, "No one knows how bad he is. I wrote down dad. Sorry, that's what just stumbled me. Yeah. No one knows how bad he is until he has tried to be good. There is a silly idea about that, that good people don't know what temptation means. Trust me, we are all tempted. And Satan loves to see the crack in our shield of faith. Let me give the last one. Found in verse number 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Temptation comes at the point of decision. Let me give you a little background of Jesus right at this point. He was at the threshold of his ministry that would ultimately culminate in his sacrifice. But he was just starting. He will leave here, according to Matthew's gospel, and the other gospels back this up as well. He will leave here, go to a mountain, spend time with the Father in prayer, and then will begin to choose the 12 disciples who have a place in all of eternity. But think about this for a moment. He had lived for 30 years. How many of you this morning are older than 30? I won't ask you how much older, just you are older than 30. Some of us raise our hand, we've got times two. Okay, so careful now. Think back over 30 years. Those of us who are a bit older, think back of your first 30 years. Of all the stuff that happened to you, most of us got all of our education in those first 30 years. Many of us got married in those first 30 years. Many of us had a couple of children by the time we were 30 years old. Huh? So in other words, we had lived a lot of life in 30 years. Jesus was 30 years old at this point in time. And now he is getting ready to make a life switch, a life change. I'm talking to you about the human Jesus that is there in the wilderness who hadn't eaten for 40 days. And who is facing a drawing from God to begin now the ministry that he would culminate in his death. He knew it was important. He had a certain rhythm of life that he would have adopted as a carpenter in Nazareth. Huh? So from the time that he was 12 years old until he was 30 years old, he worked as a carpenter in Nazareth. And everything that that entailed, he knew that life after that many years. And now he is getting ready to change careers, to change life, to change everything that somewhere inside of him, by the working of the Holy Spirit, he would know is going to culminate in his sacrifice. Can I tell you this morning that the enemy loves to get a hold of us when we are in the midst of decisions? He loves to tempt us. He loves to test us, if you will, when we are going through big changes in life like Jesus was. What a career change. From being a carpenter in Nazareth to being an itinerant preacher traveling all over Judea. Running around with guys on boats. See, there wasn't any water in Nazareth. What was his ministry going to be like? What was his death going to be like? Come on, just for a moment, step into Jesus' shoes. Because not only had he been 40 days without food, not only was there a temptation there to not have to go through all the pains that life brings. But there is a temptation that says, I'll give you everything that you're getting ready to work for. I'll give you all the nations of the world if you will just bow down and worship me. Jesus was somewhere inside of him realizing that he was starting a new kingdom. And the devil says, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. You think you've been tempted? I think I've been tempted. The Lord's never offered me, Gene, any of the kingdoms of the world, let alone that all the kingdoms of the world would bow down to me. See, we need to understand this because it will be at the points of our weakness. It will be at those places when there's a crack of doubt in our shield of faith. And there will be those times when we are in the midst of decision or in the midst of transition. And the enemy loves those times because then he finds the vulnerability in us. And that's when he wants to tempt us. Very seldom will you be having a time of worship and praise and glorifying the God that the devil's going to come in and start trying to go for one of the weaknesses in your life. It's going to be in those times where there's a deficiency. It's going to be in those times where doubt has crept in because you don't understand. Or it's going to be in times of transition. Struggle. You know, we all go through times of transition in our marriages, those who are married in this room. We need to understand that. Sometimes you look and you see that person and your heart flutters and you're thrilled that they are yours. Other times you look at them and think, what in the world was I thinking? Sharon's told me about those feelings. I just am relating them. Never had them about her. When do you think that the devil's going to tempt you? Send that person along who would lead you astray. Huh? That they would begin to show you kindness. Begin to talk sweetly to you. It's going to be in those transition points in your marriage. You see, unless we get smarter than the enemy that we're fighting, he's going to win every time. The Lord is giving us something right here. I'm just dusting off the edges of it for you just a little bit, putting it into a little bit simpler language. But know this. During times of deficiency, Bill, you're going to be tempted. During times of doubt, you're going to be tempted. During times of transition, you're going to be tempted. Now we can learn it and know that it's coming, or we can puff up our chest and go, well, you know, greater is he who's in me than he's in the world. That's the wrong scripture for handling real temptation. That is one to glory in on the good days. And we want to try to use it. The devil is not at all impressed by our supposed strength. He knows where the strength lies. Jesus didn't say, I'm bigger than you, I'm greater than you, so you get away from me, guy. Huh? When the devil questioned whether or not he was the Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, Jesus said, you do not tempt the Lord your God. He stood in a surety in the position that God had given him. You and I need to know who we are in the Lord, and we need to know it by His Word, not by the concepts of His Word, but by the truth of His Word, so that when the liar comes to us to tell us that we are no good, when the liar comes to us to tell us he's got us in his clutches, that we can take a stand and say, no, 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 I am the redeemed of the Lord. Know who you are and know the working of your enemy, and you can stand in the day of temptation. Praise God. I close with this little illustration from the Battle of Antietam in 1862, the bloodiest day in the Civil War. 100,000 were killed in 12 hours. Someone said, at last the sun went down and the battle ended and smoke heavy in the air, the twilight quivering with the anguished cries of 1,000 wounded men. Though the battle appeared to be a draw, Union General George McClellan was able to end Robert E. Lee's thrust into Maryland, forcing him to retreat across the Potomac. It was possible because two Union soldiers found a copy of Lee's battle plans and delivered them to McClellan before the battle. The Lord has given us the devil's battle plan to defeat each and every one of us. Now we choose. As surely as you're sitting here and I'm standing here this morning, you and I are going to be tempted. And I would probably guarantee you it's probably going to be before the day is out. And we're going to be tempted at the points of our weakness. And we're going to be tempted because in some way, somehow, there's a deficiency in us, whether it be of sleep or whatever it may be. Maybe it will be want for time in the presence of the Lord. Or maybe circumstances of life have brought some cracks in our shield of faith. Folks, it's time to own up.